Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
Day one of President Trump's criminal trial in New York, the first of four that Democrats have planned for him before Election Day, and the first criminal trial of a former president in American history, is officially over. The libs spied on him. Then they undermined his administration. Then they impeached him. Then they changed all the election rules to kick him out of office. Then they impeached him again. Now they are trying to throw him in prison, and still, the man is standing tall.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
I'm very honored to be here. Love him, hate him. Everyone has got to admit this man has cojones of steel. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. An Indian American pro-Palestine protester has just been arrested for threatening the murder of the Bakersfield City Council. Just wait until you hear why she threatened to murder the councilman. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, though, go to hims.com/Knowles. Did you know that 52% of men over the age of 40 experience some form of ED? Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable and discreet health treatment, all from the comfort of your couch. All you need to do is visit hims.com and answer a few questions. A medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication will ship directly to you for free and in discreet packaging. Hims provides access to clinically proven generic alternatives to Viagra and Cialis with options as low as $2 per dose. No insurance is needed. You will pay one low price for your treatments, online visits, ongoing shipments, and provider messaging. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. That is hims.com/Knowles for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. This trial in New York is obviously a miscarriage of justice. The trial in New York is obviously a threat to our constitutional order. The first time a former president has ever been criminally prosecuted ever in American history, to say nothing of the fact that he's not only the former president, but he's the current leader of the opposition. He's the presumptive Republican nominee in 2024. And it's so personal that they're not even playing around anymore. They're not even pretending that this is just a purely procedural matter. And look, you know, Donald Trump, he committed this crime. And what is the crime exactly? 8 years ago, he donated some money to his own campaign, which is completely legal, but it was in kind because he didn't fill out Form 72B for the FEC. And so it was hush money to this porn star. I don't really remember. But anyway, we're going to throw him in prison forever, especially before the 2024 election, because Biden's poll numbers don't look good. So they're not even pretending right now that this is purely procedural, nothing personal here. President Trump made one request. He said, hey, during this ridiculous political persecution that you're all undertaking against me, can I have one day off so that I can go to my son's high school graduation? And as of now, it appears that the answer is no.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go to the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. He's very proud of the fact that he did so well. And was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court at a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court.
There it is. Two big issues. One personal, one constitutional, one deeply relevant to the law and the politics of this case. The personal issue, this dirtbag judge, what's his name? Juan Merchan, New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, this dirtbag judge won't let President Trump go to his kid's high school graduation over this farce of a trial. He's going to punish an 18-year-old kid because they hate Trump so much. They're going to punish the American people by prosecuting a former president, taking us that much further into the territory of Banana Republic. They're going to punish the American people by prosecuting the current Republican nominee, the leader of the opposition during Joe Biden's reign as president. And then they're going to punish this 18-year-old kid in particular, just to twist that knife even further because they hate the orange man so much. What a dirtbag judge Juan Merchan obviously is. But then at the legal and constitutional level, because you have all of these prosecutions going on at once, to get Trump, just throw spaghetti at the wall, anything they can to stop this man from being president again, so great a threat he poses apparently to the corrupt liberal establishment. There's going to be this appearance in Washington, D.C. before the Supreme Court that will pertain to immunity, whether or not a president of the United States has some immunity from prosecution after he leaves office for things he does while he is in office. This is obviously pretty important to all of the prosecutions against Donald Trump right now. It's very important to our constitutional order. It's very important to the 2024 presidential election. And this dirtbag judge, Juan Merchan, is, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, is not going to let Trump appear before the Supreme Court because we've got to keep up this circus, this farce over an issue that never should have been prosecuted. Forget all the tabloid tawdriness of this. Oh, there was this porn star. There was this porn star, like whatever it was, 20 years ago. And she alleges that she slept with Trump, even though then she said she didn't sleep with Trump. And now she says she does sleep with Trump. But that's not even what the case is about. The case is about whether or not Donald Trump is allowed to make an in-kind contribution to his own presidential campaign, which he is. So then what's the case about? The case is about, did Trump file the right paperwork or whatever with the FEC? Give me a freaking break. A total joke. But this is the kind of lawlessness that one can expect from a late stage republic that has fallen into corruption. I don't think I'm being hyperbolic here. This is what happens to different types of government. said, I won't belabor the point because I say it on the show a lot. There are all sorts of different types of government. There's monarchy, there's oligarchy, there's democracy, and there are bad forms of it, which is tyranny and oligarchy and mob rule. And the distinction between the two is when one is governing for the common good and when one is governing for self-interest. I think it's pretty clear here that the factionalism, the political partisan self-interest has reached a fever pitch. We've never seen anything like it in American history. And so this circus continues. And Trump, got to hand it to him, man. That guy does not blink. That guy stands very, very tall, even when they throw everything at him that they've got. Speaking of injustice in New York, a man has just been arrested after punching a 9-year-old girl in Grand Central Station. Just walked up to a 9-year-old girl and sucker punched her in the face. This guy, his name is Jean Carlos Zarzuela. He's 30 years old, punched the 9-year-old girl. But that's not the whole story. It's New York. Crazy things happen in New York, right? I think he's a homeless guy. He's obviously some kind of lunatic, probably on drugs. The crazy part of this story is that he sucker punched the 9-year-old girl after he was arrested and released for punching another woman. That's the crazy part here. This guy, this maniac, homeless bum, goes up, punches a woman in the face, allegedly. I have to say allegedly every single time we mention anything about this guy's reported activities. Then gets arrested. Then, because it's New York City, just gets released. And then does it again in a more egregious way because he sucker punches, allegedly, a 9-year-old girl at Grand Central Station. Why is this happening? This was obviously, at least the punching of the 9-year-old was totally preventable. Why is it happening? It's happening because we're not allowed to acknowledge patterns. That's why. Because liberalism and political correctness in particular, now we call it wokeism, and this has now been written into our law and the enforcement of our law or the non-enforcement of our law, prohibits us from acknowledging patterns. Criminals tend to commit crime. We can't say, how dare you suggest that a man who goes up and punches a woman on the street might do that sort of thing again? No, no, no. No reason to believe that. Release the man. Let him out of there. No, no, no. That's anti-criminal discrimination. This is what happened in New York with stop and frisk. Do you remember the stop and frisk policy? This was about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more now, under the mayoralty of Mike Bloomberg, building on the crime crackdown policies of Rudy Giuliani, the best mayor in the history of New York City. They had this policy, stop and frisk. Stop and frisk was when the cops would go into bad neighborhoods and stop criminals from committing crimes. That was what stop and frisk was. And everyone was up in arms in New York. All the liberals, rather, were up in arms because it was allegedly racist. Why was it racist? Well, because these cops were going into predominantly black and Hispanic neighborhoods and they were stopping and frisking predominantly black and Hispanic people who were often criminals. So it's racist right on its face, right? Now, what the liberals did not acknowledge was that it's true. The neighborhoods were predominantly black and Hispanic and the criminals predominantly were black and Hispanic. Also, the people calling the police asking for protection were predominantly black and Hispanic, and the cops in New York Police Department were predominantly black and Hispanic. It's a majority-minority police force. But the focus was only ever on the criminals. So they said, oh, no, this is discrimination. Well, what about the poor innocent people who were the same race as the criminals, who wanted protection from the criminals who were the same race? No, no, you can't. You can't. How dare you profile people? Any police work, any kind of law enforcement requires profiling people. Otherwise, you're just going to be stopping everybody or you're going to stop nobody. And that is what's going on in New York right now. It's like the TSA. The fact that I stand in the TSA line at the airport and some old granny from, you know, Peoria gets pulled out of line and frisked is a complete joke. Why does that happen? Even I sort of understand why I would get pulled out of line. I'm a roughly fighting age guy, you know, I don't know. I look a little bit Middle Eastern, you know. Or of Sicilian descent. It's a little ethnically ambiguous. Okay, I mean, what's the point of the TSA? The TSA is there to stop Middle Eastern Muslim terrorists from blowing up airplanes. That's why we have the TSA regime. But we're not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to notice any patterns. So we have to pull out the Midwestern granny and we got to frisk 9-month-old babies. All for what? To pretend that it's ever those people who blow up the planes? It's not. But we're not allowed to recognize any kind of patterns at all. Or we necessarily do recognize them, but we're not allowed to acknowledge them. And so what's the consequence of that? The criminals' feelings don't get hurt? Is that, that's that 9-year-old girls get punched in the face in Grand Central Station? Okay, well, congratulations. Great job, guys. There's so much more to say. First, though, at the Daily Wire, we are big fans of entertainment that is not trying to push a woke agenda into your living room. That is why you need to go check out The Ballad of Davy Crockett, a pro-America, pro-family, pro-God, PG-13 action adventure that fathers and sons can watch together. An historical fiction from the imagination of writer and director Derek Estlin Purvis, the film explores some of the many myths that helped to create the legend of Davy Crockett. This film examines the complex 200-year history of European settlers and Native Americans living side by side as neighbors, long before Andrew Jackson's Indian Removal Act. It stands in direct opposition to the genocidal colonization story Hollywood loves to tell, instead exposing the truth that these two groups traded with each other, intermarried, and yes, sometimes fought, as humans do. The Ballad of Davy Crockett is in select theaters and available to buy or rent everywhere you buy movies. If you want to support films that are decent, family-friendly, and push back against Hollywood's anti-American agenda, please support this small independent film. Click the link in the description and go check out The Ballad of Davy Crockett. Speaking of violence, very violent show today. There's a story that's one of the top stories in the world right now with videos that have gone viral. A bishop of the Ancient Church of the East, which is a sort of sect of Christianity, was just stabbed in an attack during a church service. And some young guy walks up and just starts attacking this guy. And it's an amazing scene. It happens very, very quickly. But the bishop holds up a small cross. This guy, this young man, has a knife. And the bishop has a small cross. And the bishop is totally fine. And the young man reportedly chopped his own fingers off. Because, call it a miracle, it's being reported, you know, as a miracle, and it certainly would seem to be, the knife malfunctioned. Just as the bishop is holding up the cross to stop, the knife malfunctions. So according to authorities, the kid, he's like 15, I think, according to the news reports, chopped off one or more of his own fingers. Other people were injured. I mean, this bishop was injured. He was treated, though, for non-life-threatening injuries. But no one really knows very much about the motivations here. Because it's a 15-year-old kid, they're not releasing the name, they're not releasing much of the background, and so people are filling in the gaps. I've seen all sorts of theories, often baseless theories, on social media. So I'll just focus on two of them because they're the two that have gone the most viral. The first theory that I saw floating around social media was that this was a reprisal against the bishop because the bishop is pro-Palestine and anti-Israel. So this was a reprisal by a supporter of Israel, by a Zionist or something like that, because of preaching such as this.
I said, open the door. He said, I'm not taking the risk. I said,
this bishop is talking about a visit that he made to Gaza.
Open the door. I want to say hello to this little girl. Palestinian Muslim girl, my sweetheart. Yeah? I don't care. This is a little angel. Stop killing little angels.
Okay, so this video has been going viral. They say, see, this is a reprisal because the bishop is not sufficiently pro-Israel enough. Now, I saw that and I said, you know, speaking of noticing patterns and noticing the way these crimes sort of take place, I said, you don't often hear about knife attacks against clerics by the Zionists or whatever, you know, by the pro-Israel people, but that's not... You know, if there's going to be any pattern, it's usually going to be on the other side of that conflict. So then there was another theory going around with another associated clip that says that the motivation for this attack was that the bishop is anti-Islam because of preaching like this.
So Isa in Arabic is taken from the Greek word Isos, Jesus, Yeshua. But that Isa in the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible. They've got nothing to do with one another, please. Nothing to do with it. Totally different Jesus altogether. and Mary in the Quran, nothing to do with the Holy Mother of the Bible. Absolutely not. So if somebody comes and says, like, we believe in Isa, but that Isa is not my Jesus, this person has got nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible. Absolutely not. The Jesus in the Bible is the Son of God, is God. That Jesus in the Bible was crucified and he is the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. Do you believe in this or not? Don't tell me he's a prophet. What prophet? What am I going to do with a prophet? A prophet can't help himself, let alone help me. But it's ironic how they come back and they say that Isa went up to heaven alive and will come back alive. Muhammad is dead and rotted in the grave, yet this one went up alive, and when he comes back, he will judge the living and the dead. I just want to know, who is the judge of the living and the dead? Isn't it God? Now the other thing is, wouldn't you want to follow someone who is living instead of someone who is dead? Looks like this guy's done much better work.
Okay, so there's more to it. That's just a brief clip. And then there's the possibility that the motivation was not religious at all, that this is just some crazy kid. Because don't forget, just days ago, there was another stabbing, a mass stabbing, also in Sydney, Australia, as this stabbing was. And the perpetrator, according to reports, was just some crazy guy who was upset that he couldn't get a girlfriend and decided to go out and kill people and stab a lot of other people. So we don't know. We don't know. And because of the age of the perpetrator here, we're probably not going to get a ton of details. So which is it? Said it's the stabber is a pro-Israel. He didn't really look like a pro-Israel guy. Let's put it that way. Is the stabber a Muslim terrorist? I guess I have my suspicions, just judging by how these events usually occur. Or is the attacker not motivated by any religion at all? He's just a crazy guy who wanted to go out and stab a bishop one day. We don't really know. So what's the main takeaway here? The main takeaway is something that we often forget, which is that bishops are under attack. Priests are under attack. Christians broadly are under attack in the West. How many churches have been burned down by arsonists in Canada, in Europe, even in America, have been attacked in just the past few years based on lies? Remember the lie in Canada that Catholic schools were murdering indigenous Indian children 100 or 200 years ago. There was that lie. It was completely made up based on false mass graves that they supposedly found. How many attacks on the churches in Europe? How many right now? There's a genocide that is beginning in Armenia, fueled by the Azerbaijanis, growing out of the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. After 100 years ago, there was a Muslim genocide of Christian Armenians. We call it the Armenian Genocide. A reminder that much as you hear about, the plight of all sorts of other religious groups, Christianity is and remains the most persecuted religious group in the world, according to any survey that you could take on the subject. And often it goes unnoticed.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You know, the uncensored and deleted episodes of Michael And, my long-form interview series, are available now exclusively to members of Daily Wire Plus. These Michael And interviews, they're probably my favorite thing that I'm doing right now. I just love them. They're usually not debates. A couple of them have been debates when the guests are primed for that. Most of them are just conversations, long conversations of people who usually are not that famous, who have stories that are really interesting, that are really pertinent to what's going on in the world today. Here's a teaser from one that I'm not allowed to discuss all that openly on a certain social media platform. I think you'll get the idea from the clip.
I've forgotten about being pushed down the stairs, the stuff that he tried to get me to do in the bedroom, that sexual abuse, trying to coerce me into acting like we're lesbians, him dressing up as a woman. In 2010, the kids were ordered and told they could no longer call their father dad.
think you probably have an idea of what the topic of that conversation would be. Well, the full episode, Totally Uncensored, and many more of those episodes are now available to watch on Daily Wire Plus. A lot of times people will write in and say, Michael, I want to watch Mike Land. I want to watch all these other series, but I don't want to do it on the public social media platforms. Well, now it's on Daily Wire Plus, so become a member today. You can watch it over there. Speaking of Islam, an Indian American pro-Palestine protester has been arrested for threatening to murder the Bakersfield City Council if the council did not vote for a ceasefire in Gaza. B.T. Patel, crying, wearing her, not an orange jumpsuit, I guess the brown jumpsuit.
Entered not guilty pleas on Patel's behalf to 8 counts of threatening a public official and 10 counts of making terroristic threats. She's due back in court later this month.
Okay. It's always sad to see a woman cry, even if, you know, the tears are a direct consequence of her actions. The strange thing here to me is what was going in her mind. Not as she was threatening to kill these guys, but before that. What did she think was going to happen if she succeeded at intimidating the Bakersfield City Council? She goes there, she says, I'm gonna kill you guys. I'm going to murder you if you don't pass a non-binding Bakersfield City resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. And then what was going to happen? You're going to zip across the world. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he calls a major press conference. He says, hello, hello, my fellow Israelis, I'm afraid the war is over. The war against Hamas is over. I wish that the war could continue, but the Bakersfield City Council in California has passed a non-binding resolution calling for a ceasefire. My hands are tied. I cannot. The war is over. Peace has been reestablished in the Middle East because the 7-member, I don't even know how many people are on the city council. I don't. What was supposed to happen? What? Oh, man, how leftist political activism, just like a worm, just burrows its way through your brain and leaves your brain as nothing but mush. This woman is facing pretty serious criminal penalties for an action that never possibly could have accomplished anything. Many, many such cases. Let that be a warning to you if you're on the left, if you're on the right, if you're engaged in politics in any way. Don't act like a total wacko generally, but don't throw your life away for nothing. For not even the possibility of accomplishing anything. Now, speaking of crazy leftist politics, Chasten Glezman, better known by his stage name, Chasten Buttigieg. He is Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg's paramour. He just went on MSNBC to accuse President Trump of effectively killing LGBT LMNOP people, saying that Trump and the Republicans are, in effect, telling suicidal LGBT people to pull the trigger.
That's really hard. But for me, getting to grow up to be this person was a miracle. When I was 13, 14 years old and sitting in my parents' basement, I would stare at my dad's gun cabinet. And I thought that was the only way out. I would never know love, I would never know family, I'd never know community. I thought I was the only gay person in the world, and I felt like the world was telling me, pull the trigger. I very much feel like this election is about one candidate who looks at that kid and says, I've got your back, and another candidate who surrounds himself with people who are actively saying, pull the trigger. That is what they believe. They do not support LGBTQ people. They do not support families like my own, and they are not doing anything actively to make life better or safer for kids like my own, for families like my own, and for many other people around this country.
This is very disgraceful behavior, but it's also crazy boyfriend, crazy girlfriend behavior. This is textbook crazy boyfriend, crazy girlfriend. We've all heard of the crazy boyfriend, crazy girlfriend. Maybe you have experienced the crazy boyfriend, crazy girlfriend, who says, if you break up with me, I'm going to kill myself. If you do anything that I don't like, I'm going to kill myself. We've all heard of that. Many people have experienced it. That's exactly what Chasten Buttigieg is doing here. So disgusting. So narcissistic. So like everything in the whole world revolves around him in his own mind. But think about the implications of that, because he pulls on your heartstrings a little bit. Yeah, I do. If a young man is confused about his sexual desires or is experiencing some kind of deviant or disordered sexual desires, and he feels that that alienates him or isolates him, I feel for that kid, of course. And you don't want that kid to feel bad about himself or to hurt himself or anything like that. You obviously, that's very, very sad. You want the guy to be integrated, you know, into society and to like have a good life, right? But what Chasten Glesman, now called Buttigieg, says is, well, the only way to make me feel better, the only way to stop me from killing myself is for you all to tell a big lie. First, that's the first thing. First thing is, in order for me not to kill myself, you all need to pretend that marriage is something different than it is and that it has always been acknowledged to be. For all of human history, everywhere in the world, we have recognized that marriage has something to do with sexual difference. Sexual difference, the complementarity of men and women, is the thing that distinguishes marriage from other kinds of relationships. You know, a business colleague or a best buddy or gal pals. The sexual complementarity, the fact that this union can make children and that man is a coupling creature, and then you get married and you raise those children and, you know, it's a lifelong commitment, that is what distinguishes marriage. And what Chasten is saying here is, yeah, lie about that. You have to lie about that and say that sexual difference has nothing to do with marriage, or I'll kill myself. And a lot of people are going to say, okay, well, I don't want you to kill yourself. So sure, I'll lie about that. To make you, even though I don't believe it, to make you feel better, and so you don't kill yourself like a complete lunatic, okay, I'll lie and say that marriage is totally different than it always has been everywhere in the world and that it obviously is today. Okay, sure, yeah, it's different. And then what's the next thing? He says, okay, and now, if you don't want me to kill myself, you need to let me go out and purchase a child. Actually, go out, pay money to a company to create a child by purchasing the eggs of one woman and then renting the womb of another woman so that I can create a child with the express intent of denying that child his mother. One of the most important relationships that a human being will ever have in his whole life, especially to a little baby who just cries out, mama, mama, love you, mama, 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 come here. Yeah, I'm going to create a kid intentionally to deprive that kid of that relationship. And if you don't let me do that, I'll kill myself. You don't want me to kill myself, do you? That's what he's saying. All of a sudden, he's tugging on my heartstrings a little less. When he was just talking about being the kid, the depressed teenage boy, I was with him. I sympathized, at least, okay? You don't want a teenage boy to feel bad about himself. But now, hold on. Then you're going to make me lie? I'm not going to lie for you, Chasten. I'm not going to commit an action that is intrinsically immoral just to spare you your feelings. I don't think that's going to help you. It's definitely not going to help me, and it's just wrong in itself. But now we're not even just talking about saying a lie or establishing a lie as a matter of our law. Now we're talking about abusing a child. Maybe not intentionally abusing a child, but just by definition, abusing a child, by creating that child to deprive that child of his mother. And your feelings are not worth that, Chasten. No one's feelings are worth that. That is real, real evil. And your justification for that, which is that if we don't give you every single thing that you want, no matter how disordered, no matter how fantastical and false, that you're going to kill yourself, that is psycho behavior. And we cannot tolerate that. Society cannot function if that is the baseline. Give this maniac anything he wants so that he doesn't kill himself. No matter how disordered, no matter how many people it hurts, no matter how many people it scandalizes and causes to stumble and sin, give me a break. Crazy boyfriend, crazy girlfriend stuff. Now you, not being crazy, you being very sensible and rational, you should subscribe to the Michael Knowles YouTube channel. And you should destroy that like button and ring that bell with facts and with logic. Speaking of weird sex stuff, can't believe it. We made it all the way to Tuesday with that weird sex stuff. A substitute teacher has been arrested after sleeping with a 17-year-old student. How many times do we get this story? This one, and what's always, it's always in the comments section, you know, oh man, where were those teachers when I was in school, right? This one's a little less funny in the sense that often these stories, they make it to the news because it's, you know, a 22-year-old teacher and an 18-year-old student. You say, well, they're actually so close in age, 17-year-old student or something. They're so close in age, maybe it's not quite as weird. Well, here, it's a little clearer why this kind of relationship is so disordered. It's this woman who's 45 years old. They discovered her and a 17-year-old student undressed in her Honda Pilot, parked at a dead-end road at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so there you say, okay, 45 and 17. Now it's a little harder to joke about this. You know, 22 and 18 is one thing, but 45 and 17, I don't know, man. And then the cops find these two, and the kid, 17-year-old, just is mostly naked, drives off in the car and then crashes the car, gets out, runs, and then the cops finally find him about an hour later. The kid's obviously a little bit shaken up about this. The reason that these stories really are never funny, despite all of the comments of where were these teachers when I was a kid, is because I can't help but notice virtually all the people involved in weird sex stuff as adults had some weird sex stuff happen to them when they were young. Whether we're talking about, you know, really direct, you know, particularly egregious stuff, or whether we're just talking about exposure to pornography or bad relationships or whatever, I can't help but notice that. This stuff really can scandalize people. It really can traumatize people. This is the one area where I think the libs consistently say something that is true about sex. They're always talking about sex. It's not me. Even despite the fact that we cover weird sex stuff on the show with some regularity, I'm not the one making up these stories, right? It's the libs who are making these into news stories. I'm just observing them. So don't blame me. You got to blame the libs who are the aggressors in the sexual revolution and in the culture war. But when the libs say, you know, sex is really important and that's why we need to think about it and talk about it all the time, they're right in that it is important. It is important. You're right. Because the distinction between the sexes is the fundamental distinction within human nature. So yeah, it is important. You're right. And when people are indoctrinated in crazy sexual ideas as kids, which is what the libs are trying to do all the way down to elementary school and succeeding at doing. And then when the kids are trained in bad sexual habits, which the libs are also training them in doing, not just 45-year-old substitute teachers, but just broadly in our culture, all sorts of sexual education these days is cultivating these bad habits. And then, you know, the rise of teenage culture and a lot of unsupervised time between teenagers and the notion that sex is not a big deal and you should, you know, have a lot of it when you're really young and everything, even outside of marriage. That's cultivating moral and intellectual, you wouldn't say virtues, you would just say habits that are really going to mess you up. They're going to lead to a lot more of this weird stuff that we see so prevalent in society.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not yet tuned into the new Daily Wire Plus series, Judged by Matt Walsh, consider this your subpoena to start. For those already hooked on the series, get ready because court is back in season and in session with a new season of episode 3 of the all-new reality courtroom comedy series premiering tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. Matt Walsh is not just playing a judge. He is donning the robe and wielding the gavel as a bona fide judge. resolving real disputes from real litigants. This is not your run-of-the-mill court TV. This is real petty court, petty court, at its finest, with Judge Walsh presiding, determining the fate of all who dare stand before him. Episode 3 of Judged by Matt Walsh premieres tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. If you are not a Daily Wire Plus member yet, sign up now. Use code JUDGED at checkout for 35% discount on your membership at dailywireplus.com. My favorite comment yesterday is from Dave C. Thompson, 81, who says, "Someone tell the Daily Wire that a 3-minute explanation does not take 49 minutes and 51 seconds. That's Common Core math, actually, that our producers use. So when they title these videos, you know, such and such explained in 3 minutes and the video is an hour long, that is because our producers are younger and they were raised on Common Core math. So don't blame us, blame the Democrats. Speaking of Democrats, AOC is paying dues to the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee for the first time. Who cares? Why is that a big story? That is a huge story, even though most people are going to miss this story, because it represents AOC, the firebrand, the outsider, the populist burning down the establishment. It represents her joining the establishment. AOC, she held off for a long time. She was first elected, what, 2018? It's 6 years later. It's the first time she's ever paying dues to the campaign committee for the Democrats in the U.S. Congress. Why is she doing that? It can mean one of two things. Maybe it means a little bit of both. On the one hand, it means AOC is now willing to play ball with the establishment. She came in, "I'm an outsider. I'm going to burn it down. I'm going to unseat a long-term establishment incumbent, and I'm not going to listen to anybody. And leadership's going to hate me, and I'm going to take over this place." And now she's bending the knee. She's playing ball. But on the other hand, what it could represent is the AOCification of the Democrat establishment. This is not your parents' Democrat Party anymore. Tonight, I'm going to be at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and I'm going to be discussing abortion. It's a very urgent matter now when it comes to the 2024 elections. And it's an important issue because it shows just how far the Democrats have moved. When it comes to abortion, the GOP has not really changed its opinion at all in about 50 years. You're going to hear that the GOP is so much more extreme on abortion now. It's not true. The view of the real national candidates on abortion in the GOP has not really changed much in 50 years since Roe v. Wade and before. At the time of Roe v. Wade's decision, Democrats and Republicans basically agreed on abortion. During the presidential race between Jerry Ford and Jimmy Carter, 1976, the two candidates held almost exactly the same view. They were both opposed to abortion. They both wanted to restrict abortion. Jimmy Carter disagreed with Ford only in as much as Ford wanted a constitutional amendment to allow states to pass their own laws. But otherwise, they basically totally agreed. That line held until, gosh, I don't know, five years ago, certainly less than 10 years ago. Hillary Clinton was campaigning on safe, legal, and rare. Now it's shout your abortion, scream it from the rooftop, kill babies after they're born. We're going to pass laws in New York that allow that. And then we're going to light up the Empire State Building pink to celebrate killing more babies. Okay, very, very different. So is this AOC bending the knee? More than that, I think it's the establishment bending the knee to AOC. And AOC paying her dues because she won.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Speaking of Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C. has just topped the list. You're not going to believe this. I believe it, but you might not. D.C. has topped the list of the hardest working cities in America. I know, it seems counterintuitive because we think of D.C. as a bunch of lazy, cocktail-going, you know, leeches on our system. And there's a little bit of that too. but they work hard. They work hard. According to this ranking, which comes from, I don't even know where the study's from. It's just linked in a news report. So, you know, I take all social science with a grain of salt, but I guess you could take this one especially with a grain of salt. It's by Wallet Hub. There it is, Wallet Hub. Washington, D.C. ranks number one, followed by Irving, Texas, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Virginia Beach, Anchorage, Alaska. So all these are kind of all over the place. But D.C.'s number one. Yeah, of course. Because people in D.C. are really gung-ho about what they do. Okay? People are more motivated to work when we see our work as part of something bigger than us. And people in D.C. do that. They don't make a ton of money. If you work for the government in D.C., you don't really make a ton of money. The lobbyists make a lot of money, but the government workers don't. But they see that what they're doing as part of something bigger, so they're willing to work more. This is a great insight from St. Jose Maria Escriva, who said, sanctity for the vast majority of people implies sanctifying their work, sanctifying themselves in it, and sanctifying others through it. As a pure number of hours worked, I work a lot. I work most, like, all the time, basically. But in terms of feeling like I'm working a lot, you know, I'm not exactly in the coal mines, right? I'm doing something that I really enjoy doing and that I think is important to public life in my own little way. And so it doesn't really feel like work. Yeah, you get tired and all these things, but I'm more motivated to do it. A lot of people in DC feel that way. And this can be true of all work. You don't need to just be working in politics. You don't. It's of all work. The key to it here is not the ego boost. It's not the self. It's not even the shallow political campaign. It's finding the work to be sanctifying, right? That it's serving something bigger, because ultimately our work, by the sweat of our brow, we're to earn our keep, and that work is ultimately to serve God. The Industrial Revolution was a little bit of a setback in this regard, in the sense that the Industrial Revolution compartmentalized all work. No longer did people seem to be full integrated human beings doing all different parts of the production of any particular product. All of a sudden, people were compartmentalized and really just came to be viewed as cogs in a machine. And that can be demoralizing. That's not just a personal problem. It's not just, you know, chin up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's an actual political problem. It's a systemic problem that we have to address. But the reason to address that is that we are human beings and we do have to work and we do want to work more and we want to feel that our work is worth it. Because when we feel like it's worth it, it doesn't really feel like work. Now, speaking of the DC swamp, the swampy creatures are accusing President Trump. They've thrown everything they have at him. Now they're just throwing mean insults. They're accusing him of being a low-down con man using boogeyman politics. Here on MSNBC is Al Sharpton.
He was the same guy that stood on television as president of the United States and said it'll be over in 2 weeks. Don't worry about it. Then finally he told us to take bleach. So now we're going, I think the collective amnesia that a lot of Americans are having is the challenge the Democrats have to put out there. Is say this is the guy you voted out. Mm-hmm. Remember now, he ran for re-election. You didn't want him back again. Don't let him con you now with this boogeyman politics. The boogeyman's coming. The boogeyman's mm-hmm. coming. He was the boogeyman. And you talking about the economy. Do CEOs really want to explain to the world why a man convicted of felonies of hush money to a porn star who sells Bibles after he goes to court defending that he had sex with a porn star and get my Bible? I'm giving you a discount, $59.99. You don't have to pay $60. That's how low down a con man he is.
That's how low down a con man he is. You heard that straight from Reverend Al Sharpton, baby. That's right. Reverend Al Sharpton, the hoaxer behind the Tawana Brawley nonsense. This guy launched his career. This guy launched his career on a rape hoax, Tawana Brawley. Didn't actually happen, ruined people's lives. This guy set off race riots. Remember Crown Heights? What was one of his lines? Hi me, I'm coming to get you or something like that. This is a guy whose job was to be a fake con man preacher. the Reverend Al Sharpton. This is a guy. And so what I love, what I find so delicious about this is not how unfair it is, a bit unfair against Trump, but that every single thing that they attack him for, they themselves have done 100 times over. He's a con man. Yeah, you're Al Sharpton. Are you joking? Are you kidding me? All you people, you're all hoaxers. All these hoaxes over the Russia hoax, the this, that. Well, Donald Trump, he didn't want to concede his election. Yeah, you guys pretended Stacey Abrams was the governor of Georgia. You guys pretended Al Gore won the 2000 election. You guys pretended Hillary Clinton won the 2016 election. None of you ever really gave it up. Well, this guy, he's using boogeyman politics. You say this guy's Hitler, and that he's, and not only is he Hitler, but he's also a KGB stooge for Vladimir Putin. Well, this guy, this Donald Trump, man, he's selling Bibles. He's exploiting religion for politics. You're Reverend Al Sharpton. You're a fake preacher. Are you kidding me? It's so delicious. This is how Trump really is the retribution, because he baits them with his eccentric personality and his, 40 years of celebrity. So they attack him, but any way they try to attack him just boomerangs back on them, because anything they accuse him of, they have done 100 times over. I find that very funny. You know what else I find funny? Teehee Tuesday, which is what it is. Our producers have some dumb thing planned for Teehee Tuesday. So if you're not a member, subscribe so you don't miss out. Use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.